We come now to sample wisdom, old and new, on the theme, the shared wisdom of do not boast about tomorrow. First, the Proverb 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what one day may bring. And then the same word from the new wisdom of James chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, commits sin. And this is God's word, God's wisdom, old and new. And I have lost my sermon because, Laurie, where did she go? She took my sermon. You have your notes from my sermon before? Well, this could be the shortest sermon you've heard in a long time. That's happened about three or four times since I've been here, but it's never actually not been brought back. So if she comes in the middle, we're going to gladly welcome her, aren't we? So pray, help me, Jesus. I can't even read your writing there. You want to dictate it to me there? William Cowper, thank you. William Cowper, we'll start off with the famous hymn writer, William Cowper. Some of you would know that because you are hymn book nerds, and you don't just sing the hymns, but you look at who wrote the hymns. And William Cowper was a 19th century British hymn writer who wrote, among other hymns, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. But in 1777, he was deeply depressed. And so he called for a carriage, horse-drawn carriage, to carry him to the London Bridge, where he planned to take his life by jumping off the bridge into the Thames River. It was a terribly foggy night. And so after 2 hours of wandering around in the mist, the carriage driver finally admitted to Cowper's that he didn't know where he was and couldn't find the bridge. In desperation and anger, Cowper's got out of the carriage and began to walk there, only to find that he was right there at his front door. Seeing that as a providential intervention from God, he sat down and wrote the hymn, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And that's what we all have experienced, isn't it? That really our life is kind of wandering around in the mist, in the fog. And in fact, James says that's just who we are. We are a vapor. Life is a very tenuous and delicate thing, isn't it? And so we ought not to boast as if we have it all figured out. We ought to live by trust in the providence and the good grace of God Almighty. Well, maybe you have a rough time with that. I certainly do. I'm a planner. Bless her heart, Beverly has put up with it for 43 years. I mean, you could go and pull out my black folder in my study at home and open it up, and there it shows. I do 10-year plans. Each decade of my life has been planned out 10 years, and I annualize those plans, and it gets really ridiculous. How many books I want to read in 2019? How many times I want to go fishing in 2019? How much money I want to put away for retirement, except now, oh, that's the hard part. I have to start drawing it out. Oh. It's a huge shift, a dramatic paradigm shift. How many times I want to see my grandchildren? I've done that in the past, and that's all I'm going to do, I hope, in 2019. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Amen, Beverly? Amen. Yeah. We would be coming home from Christmas vacation, and the kids are doing what they would do in the back, and I'm trying to engage Beverly in a serious discussion about the next year's plans, you know. That's what, so I confess that this is difficult for me, but understand Proverbs goes on to say in chapter 12 that we should commit our plans to the Lord, and He will establish them. So it isn't a call that we ought to just live our lives haphazardly, flippantly, not thinking ahead. Like some people I've heard literally quote these verses and say, oh, I don't have a will. I don't plan anything, because if the Lord so wills, well, that's more foolishness than wisdom, I'm afraid. But the wisdom comes when we say, these are my plans, O God, but they're mine, but I want to give them to you. You think you've got it figured out, maybe, like I do? You don't know what tomorrow may bring. Some of you have bet on a team today. You don't even know what today is going to bring, do you? You remember when Jesus gave this parable? It's the same story. Give me a minute to find it. It's in Luke chapter 12 someplace. Well, anyhow, it's in there. Did you have this in your notes here, perhaps? Yeah, you remember the story. Jesus tells the story about the man who has a bountiful crop, and he says, I will build bigger and better barns. Thank you, Jesus. It's even highlighted. Do you see that? And she sent me her notes as well, so if you'd like to. Okay, I can even find it. It is chapter 12. I'm going to read it to you. It starts with verse 16. I was just wandering around. Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, listen to how many first persons there are in this parable. The unholy trinity, I, myself, and me. It's all about me, me, I. He says to himself, I will build bigger and better barns, and I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. That, by the way, is the only time in any of Jesus' parables where God is directly quoted, so we better pay attention. Jesus told us, don't call anybody a fool, but you heard God called fools people who make their plans without bringing in God to their plans. When it's all first-person planning, that is utter foolishness, Jesus says. No, we ought to say, rather, if God so wills, commit your work to the Lord and He will establish your plans. What arrogating, what bragging, no sense of otherness, no holy accountability, no human community. It's His own soliloquy, I, myself, and me, and what a small package that is, isn't it, when you're all wrapped up in yourself. And to leave God and others out of our plans is to become arrogant and greedy and braggartly. How foolish to brag about our plans in the face of the sovereign God with whom we have to do. All such boasting is evil, is what James says. We're wandering around in the mist anyway, and to wander around in our misty fog and add to that arrogant bragging is to miss the great depth, the depth of peace, to have a soul that is well, that comes by not trusting in I, myself, and me, but in the Holy One of Israel. That's where peace that passes understanding, that's where a well soul comes from, resting in God's will. You know it well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Otherwise, our life is like wandering around in circles in the fog. It's like comparing our fog to the great ocean of the greatness of God. We think we're in charge. God laughs. We're just going around in the mist in circles. In my past have regularly, and I still do it every day, I read the obituaries, do you? That's a great exercise. You know what you discover? I've seen it for years. There's always somebody in there my age that has died. Huh. Has a way of kind of bringing some wisdom to you. And that's part of the reason I'm retiring, to tell you the truth. I have great plans and great intentions. I've done so many funerals here where grandchildren get up and tell these great stories about grandpa, and I want my grandchildren to be able to do that one day, or at least know me well enough to know that, but I don't know what tomorrow brings, and you don't either. So here are my plans, Lord. I give them to you. Otherwise, I'm just going in circles in the mist. Trust in the Lord as Jesus did. He is the perfect example of this. He always trusted the will of the Father. He always perfectly did the will of the Father. Do you remember when the upper room was being prepared, how John describes that? John 13, verse 1, it begins that Jesus knew that His hour had come, His hour, that pedal point that keeps coming up time and time again in the Gospel of John. It was not Jesus' own conjurings and plans. It was the will of the Father. John 17, Jesus there in the upper room around that Last Supper table begins to pray. He turns His eyes heavenward and says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son so that the Son may glorify You." The disciples are sitting there like you and I are, ambivalent, confused, anxious, with anticipatory grief of the separation that is coming their way. And yet there is the perfect One who is accepting and doing the will of the Father perfectly. And in His wisdom, He leaves us this table of remembrance of what all of that is all about. I read a wonderful verbatim of a pastor's visit to a homebound 91-year-old member who was frankly wandering around in the mist a bit. She had memory loss, and after he had shared communion with her in her home and said those words, "Do this in remembrance of Him," they partook. There was a long pause. And then this dear saint said, "You know, Pastor, I spend an hour every single day reading the Scripture in prayer and reading other Christian literature. When people ask what good all my reading does if I can't even remember what I have read, my answer is always the same. I'm in pretty good health. I have a roof over my head and plenty of food to eat. I also have two sons and one grandson who love me dearly. My cup runneth over. I'm not concerned about my memory. I just do my reading and praying, and God does the remembering." The Lord's Supper. God in Christ has done the remembering. Do this. Trigger sacred memory. And so come to this table and remember. Remember perfect love, utter sacrifice, divine purpose, our misty, sinful lives going in circles. Trust Him to direct your path. The disciples did as Jesus instructed, and they made ready that Last Supper. For I have received of the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, do this in remembrance of him. May we pray. O Lord, we confess that we are fogged in. We are a broken, sinful, confused people, so wrapped up in ourselves. Unwrap us today as we sample, as we taste to see how good and gracious you are, as you remind us, O God, of what you have done in order that we might experience your plans and purposes for our lives. Bless this bread and bless us as we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. In remembrance of him. In the same manner also Jesus took the cup when he had supped, saying, everyone drink of it, for this is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the many for the remission of sins. May we pray. Lord, bless this cup and bless us as we receive it, that it might, in your wisdom, be transformed into a kind of small reflecting pool in which we see better who we are, but mostly who you are, and loving us, sinners as we are, and having plans for our lives and calling us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. In remembrance of him. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Even now, Lord Jesus, quickly come. The scripture says they rose and sung a hymn, and so we do the same. We stand to sing a hymn of decision, which invites any here who would publicly declare their faith and fellowship of Christ as Savior and Lord to come and say so. Follow Christ in baptism. Come to make this your church home. or come with a need of renewal or prayer. We stand, we sing, we respond. That awaits. And as they do, Keith Barker, chair of our personnel committee, I won't be here to make this official recommendation at the end of the year, but I want to do it publicly, that our minister of music, Ben Brown, the retriever of the sermon, deserves a big end of the year bonus, please. Just take it out of my sermon or any of the remnants of it, please do. Thank you, Ben, and others. And I'll bet Laurie will be written up in the 200th anniversary history of Second Baptist Church. Well, Susan, lead us as we pray. And family, go ahead and go, will you, please?
Let's pray. Leave today with these things: the knowledge that you are forever loved by Jesus Christ, the understanding that he gives us power to love others, and the challenge to do something this week that can make a positive difference in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blessed be